In this episode, I'm going to break down the latest video marketing news from YouTube, Katy Perry, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. It's all going down on this episode.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
All right, all right. Oh, you're going to absolutely love this. On Saturday, I went to a party at an old college friend's house. You know, I've known this guy for like 27 years, and I was in the kitchen, and I asked his daughter a question, and she looked at me, and she said, "You probably should Google that." Are you kidding me? You're in eighth grade, and you're going to drop that, "You probably should Google that" line on me? I was teaching audience and search optimization with back in the day when WebCrawler and Lycos and AltaVista, even Dogpile, before Ask Jeeves, when all of those search engines ruled the world, before this girl was even born. She's going to drop that stupid line on me. Thanks for that, eighth grader. Amazing. All right, so there's always interesting things going on around Wirebuzz. In fact, right now at this moment, four, maybe five members of the team, oh, definitely five now that I think about it, are filming at a medical marijuana grow facility. And it's really interesting to watch a new and developing industry be born when something becomes legalized, or to even watch new technology come to market. It's one of my favorite things because when industries become more and more competitive, the companies need to find people like me that use video as an amplifier that can help them track their leads and grow their business at faster rates. And the more competitive or the more crowded that industry is, the quicker they start looking for growth hackers like us. Super cool. All right. If the I know the crew next week is going to be in San Francisco filming for two clients. One will be a jewelry store, but at the same time, we're going to be filming for a diamond brand. And but if they're still here when I record next week, I'm going to have somebody come in and tell the story about what it was like growing. What was it like filming at the grow facility? And did any of them get any goodie bags? I don't think they're going to get any goodie bags, but I'll see what I can bring back to you as an interesting story. All right. Hey, have you seen this Foot Locker's Father Day video marketing campaign that was just launched? I saw it come out today. It's genius. Foot Locker published a video where top draft prospects Justin Tatum and Lonzo Ball reflect about their dads and the love and the nurturing that their dads have given them along the way to where they are now on the emerging eve of the NBA draft. Now, the best part of this campaign is Lonzo Ball reflecting on his dad's odd behavior. Now, do you know who his dad is? His dad is LeVar Ball. His dad's the one that has been coming out to the media and saying, like, "My son's better than Michael Jordan. Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry. He isn't as good as my son." And the dad's making comments as the son's trying to negotiate his shoe contract. The dad comes out and he's like, "We're going to create our own shoe line and we're going to put Nike out of business." Like, the dad's totally delusional. So this Foot Locker ad is just flat out brilliant. So smart of Foot Locker to capitalize on the LeVar Ball, the dad LeVar Ball controversy, and his son, who's the potential number two NBA draft pick, and to show off the son's personality, that he can laugh at the situation. It's a brilliant win-win for Foot Locker and also Lonzo Ball, that's trying to distance himself from his dad, who eventually is going to have to put a muzzle on. You want to get access to that video, you'll see it on the show notes page. I'll drop the URL in a few moments. Just a little reminder for all you marketers out there, before you start creating any videos, please start by laying out your digital strategy. Always start with your goal in mind. You know, I like to make sure people realize that if you want to take a customer from point A all the way to ROI, you have to define what ROI is. You have to work backwards. And when you're already starting to deal with the strategy, you start creating the landing page. When you get to the script, you connect the script to the landing page, right? Because once you're creating the video, that URL needs to be in there. You also need to be have your social team get ready to socialize that video. So the whole path from A to ROI is interconnected if you want to be a video marketing master, all right? That's just how it goes. And people who take this whole, you know, random act of video creation approach, they're the ones that become marketing train wrecks, and you can't afford to do that with your business or anybody that you're advising, all right? And if you take the John Cougar Mellencamp approach or the John Cougar approach or just the Mellencamp approach and you try to mix up the order, eventually hoping that you get the right combination, that never works. Over that dude's career, he's changed his name and the different orders of it multiple times. The reality is everything always starts from strategy. Then you go into your web dev. Then you create the video assets. From there, it's go live and you prep everything. And then your ad spend around it. That's the path from A to ROI. You know, that joke only works for people that are 40 and older, that have seen John Cougar Mellencamp perform in a zip-up one-piece jumpsuit, right? That looks like he actually works at like some type of a car garage, works on motorcycles or something. All right, let's talk about YouTube for a moment. ESPN had a fabulous story, super interesting for video marketers. UCF, which I believe is University of Central Florida, kicker Donald De La Hea has a popular channel on YouTube. But in his most recent video, he says UCSF, the university, asked him to stop making money off of his videos to preserve his amateur status. Now, in this video, quote, quit college sports or quit YouTube, De La Hea said, quote, I feel like they're making me pick between my passion in what I love to do, which is making videos and entertain and be creative, and my other passion, which is playing football. De La Hea has made 41 videos that show his daily life, including what's it going to be like to be a student athlete. But because he's already hit over 10,000 lifetime views, he was able to make money off of the ads that are placed on his videos. Now, the issue here is the NCAA has a bylaw which states that an athlete may establish his or her own business provided that the athlete's name, photograph, appearance, or athletic reputation are not used to promote the business. And since De La Hea mentions his career as a UCF football player, he could be in violation of the NCAA rules, right? And, you know, he could lose his eligibility. Now, here's the deal between you and me. The NCAA is a total joke, right? Not shocking. This isn't breaking news. But if there are rules, everyone should have to follow them. Like, you'd never ask one player to have to go 12 yards in order to get a first down. Another one would only have to go 8, right? Everybody has to play by the same rule book. And I don't care if you're Donald De La Hea or you're a Heisman Trophy winner. Everyone should have to follow those rules, or nobody should. You know, there's a lot of people that make money off of YouTube and they do it through ads. I always think that the ads are the least profitable way to do it. I've always created sponsorship packages outside of YouTube and then shut off the ad spend. And that way I've been able to generate off of my campaigns significantly more revenue. In fact, we've had multiple campaigns throughout the Wirebuzz history that have made, somewhere between $150,000 to $400,000 a year just through sponsorship, but excluding the YouTube ad campaigns. And anyway, I find it really interesting when a kid's about to lose his amateur status for making pennies on the dollar playing within the YouTube confines. Oh, I love Dropbox. You know, I'm a fan of the Dropbox story, and I always love hearing how great businesses are just born. And you know what they say, mother is the necessity of invention, right? Well, Drew Houston, the founder and CEO of Dropbox, told the Business Insider that it was really out of personal frustration. He said, I kept carrying a thumb drive around and emailing myself files and all the things that we used to have to do. I was going from Boston to New York on a Chinatown bus, and I forgot my thumb drive, and I was so frustrated really with myself because this just kept happening. And I'm like, my God, I never want to have this problem again. And I opened up the editor and I started writing code. I had no idea what it would become, but those were the beginnings. Now, successful business ideas, they always solve problems and pain points that others have. It might be you, right? You have a pain point, you recognize it, like Drew Houston did, and then you create the solution for you and roll it out to others. So the next time you feel a feeling of frustration about something, or if you're seeing yourself using yesterday's solution for a problem that could be better solved with modern technology, you just might have created the next Dropbox. But be on the lookout. Often the next billion-dollar idea is hiding behind irritation. So just look around. And about 10 years later, the file sharing service has more than 500 million users. That's huge. There's more users to Dropbox than people in the U.S. We only have about 330 million people in the U.S. They have 550 million users, generating $1 billion and more a year in revenue. And that has been valued. This Dropbox company has been valued in 2014 at $10 billion. That's the value of addressing frustration and pain points. And the business took off. Do you know the story? As a video marketer, do you know the story about Dropbox? Their business started and really took off when people started to understand what it was. Because up to that point, it didn't make any sense what a Dropbox was. And so what did they do? They did what every business does or should do that has a complex business model, right? Or a new topic, or they're groundbreaking, or they're, you know, disrupting an industry. They created a simple animated homepage explainer video. And if you're like me, one of their original users, when you went to that site and you saw the animated video, it showed you what the problem was. Problem, agitate, solve, right? That's the framework we see in a lot of these. And when we're writing scripts for our clients, if they've got a product that's got addresses a pain point and solves it, the template, the copywriting template that a team should use is called problem, agitate, solve. So if you watch this animation video from Dropbox from way, way back in the day, you would see they followed that same format. And before you know it, everybody, 500 million people are customers of Dropbox. Look, I looked at that video, that original one that I saw, and I think it's worthy enough to go on the show notes page. You're going to want to look back at the origins of Dropbox and see how they explained themselves the first time. In fact, why don't we play the audio? Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll play the audio on this podcast. Everybody knows what Dropbox is now, but think about at the very beginning, how they had to take people from an early awareness. They had to kind of like touch on the problem, show you how annoying it is, move you through to the solution. So listen tight. Here's just the audio. Paint the pictures on your own of the original Dropbox video.
You've been there. You're about to buy lunch and realize your wallet is in your other pants. Or maybe you left your keys at home. The problem is organization. You need one place for everything, like a magic pocket. Putting something in the magic pocket means it's always there, no matter what you wear or where you are. The same thing is true for computers. If you have more than one, keeping track of all of your files can be a pain. Solving this problem is one of the big ideas behind Dropbox. It's like a magic pocket, a single, secure place for all of your stuff.
You get the idea, right? You tell the story, and as they're showing this magic pocket, they're showing you the visuals, and then when they take that magic pocket, they then extend it to the next spot, which is computers, right? Tell your story, be visual, and you will see amazing growth as the ideas start to coalesce. Hey, if you want to get access to the video from that Dropbox used to really start its company, it'll be on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/96. Did you see the video marketing initiative that rock star Katy Perry pulled off this week? It was rather phenomenal. The Washington Post reported it like this. There are a couple of ways to build up hype for a new album. You can drop it with no warning at all, a la Beyonce, or you can spend years teasing that it's coming up like Frank Ocean, or apparently let the world watch you around the clock for four straight days. Now, Katy Perry went and took the last option. And on Thursday night to promote her new album, Witness, well, she allowed all of us to witness a Big Brother-style LA home that was outfitted with dozens of cameras that captured her every waking and, yes, sleeping moment. And they were live streamed on YouTube. The four-day-long Katy Perry Witness Worldwide event ended on Monday afternoon, and you wouldn't believe it. Our Christopher Janelle was in the audience. Christopher, thanks for joining me.
Well, I wasn't technically in the audience or in that home, but I was watching it and checking it from time to time on my phone on the YouTube app. YouTube was live streaming, I guess, her entire life. And you could definitely tell that it was like very rehearsed, very produced. I mean, to a degree, like, you know, it's natural. There's moments where she's just kind of like walking around the house, talking to her assistants, not really doing anything. But what I found fascinating about it is, especially for, you know, fans of pop stars or celebrities in general, just getting a glimpse into their day-to-day life. And there were all these scenarios that YouTube set up for her to do, like special guests would come over, or different activities.
In order to keep it interesting.
Yeah, in order to keep it interesting. But it was kind of something I'd never witnessed before, is having kind of it kind of reminded me of the days where you had those like Tamagotchi pets in your pocket, and like you couldn't wait to check to see what the pet was doing, or if it was, you know, eating, or alive, you know, still alive. But that was kind of it. But for a celebrity, it's like, oh, I wonder what Katy Perry's doing right now. And I found myself I didn't watch a ton of it, I wasn't like obsessed with it, but it was really fascinating to me. Because I found myself like waking up and then checking, like, I was like, oh, what she's doing? Oh, she's still sleeping. Okay, never mind. Just put the phone down. And then like, oh, she's having breakfast now. Okay, let's. What are they having for breakfast? Oh, a celebrity guest is there. So it just was kind of a unique and interesting use of live video. And we talk a lot about how businesses should be using live video and, you know, kind of developing a personality and a brand for their audience. And I really thought that was great for her to do. The other thought I had too is, it definitely seems like they're going to do more of this. So more and more celebrities are going to do like a week long, however, you know, I'm living my life or my vacation or whatever it is.
So you're saying you think this is a watershed moment in live stream and the way that celebrities or brands use it to engage and generate hype?
Yeah, for sure. This like kind of long form live streaming, you know, is probably not applicable to everybody in every business, but definitely for these like big marketing opportunities, like I'm releasing a new album. It's great. I could see something like a sports team and, you know, drafts and training for NFL seasons are coming up. Have your team live stream all the training camps. Like, you'll get so much engagement from your fan base from just letting them have a behind-the-scenes glimpse. And what's interesting, too, is 95% of what she was doing was uninteresting, but that in itself was kind of fascinating because it's new, you know? You don't get to look at somebody, you know, eating breakfast every day, right. And the novelty of it was kind of cool.
So it's funny you bring up, you know, spring training or sports teams, because – as you know, I've got some friends in the front office of a Major League Baseball team, and I go to lunch with them, I don't know, right around spring training time, because I don't want to give away who the team is, but one of their facilities is really close to our office, and I'm Facebook friends with them, and I'm always pitching them like crazy ideas they should be doing, and I've pitched them that idea, and literally, when you said they should do that with a professional sports team, I remember seeing the general manager's reactions, and they were all like, uh-uh. Like, in their mind, they're like, "You, Todd, you have no idea what kind of train wrecks we have on our team."
The Katy Perry thing, like I said, was produced. So obviously, you know, they sat down for weeks and months before, you know, laying out like how it would go and things to say and not say. Because I think I even remember one point I was watching somebody like cursed, and it was like a mild curse. And they were like, she was like, "We're live. You can't say that." It's so like there was this like kind of Truman Show or Big Brother aspect where, you know, some things you can and can't do on live. But I think for fans of you know, anything within the pop culture realm, it's it's definitely like fascinating to know that like this capability of like getting a deeper glimpse into whatever you're into is kind of cool.
You know, as you're talking, I realized that I pitched to the one of these MLB teams that during spring training, they should just have one game on a day where they have poor attendance and get anybody that wants to download their app to be able to vote between pitches, because it takes forever for a pitch, when the player should bunt and when the player should steal, and the coach would call it in. So you have one, just one day where you fill the stadium and you let everybody decide. They get to call the, during an they were like, bad idea, Todd, horrible idea. I pitched so many crazy ideas to those guys. They're just like, let's get this guy out of here.
Sometimes it takes a little bit crazy, and I'm sure this Katy Perry thing was a big risk for them because it's not really been done before.
Yeah.
But I think like that's what it takes in the marketing world, and with the technology that's out there, like live streaming, like take a risk, like try to do something different, you know, and see how your audience reacts.
All right, so I'm going to take a risk right now. Don't go too far. Don't get back out of here. Don't go too far. If you can't do this with everybody. If your client is calculated and they're comfortable in front of the media, it's a great publicity stunt. If your client was Justin Bieber, would you recommend this?
Probably more so.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think tons of people would tune in for the train wrecky people. You know, Katy Perry's eccentric, but you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But the loose cannons, I think you'll have an even bigger audience. And I think we're so used to like the Kardashians where we're like, oh, we get a glimpse in their lives or reality TV, but live is much different than that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of life cut on the cutting room floor for reality TV, but these live opportunities, definitely doesn't leave any room for, you know, you're waiting for mistakes and you're waiting for the unexpected and you're waiting for, you know, regular life to happen.
Well, I sure thought it was interesting. I thought it was a really brilliant opportunity from Katy Perry and her team to do the live stream, and good on YouTube for jumping in and also being a part of it. A watershed moment in video marketing went down this week. Well, he's Wirebuzz's director of ops, Christopher Janelle. Christopher, I'm glad you joined us on the podcast one more time. So the digital marketing world has been going goo-goo over Instagram during the last couple of weeks. It's like there's been like some type of a resurgence of people's interest in Instagram since Instagram went Snapchat. And if you know what I'm talking about, since Instagram adopted all of Snapchat's features, but not the bad navigation, Instagram has been surging ahead and people are talking about it. And if you go and look inside of Snapchat, it's turning into somewhat of a ghost town compared to Instagram. The number of people that are snapping feels. I'm just saying what it feels like. There's less people there. And the same people that I would see a couple weeks before that were snapping are now using Instagram and seeing really nice results. I see Christopher Janelle shaking his head. Are you agreeing with me?
Yeah. Well, here in the office, we definitely do a lot of Instagram stories. I know on our Wirebuzz page, when the crew's out shooting, we try to do regular updates on the Instagram stories. So all of us here are definitely kind of leaning less towards Snapchat and more towards Instagram stories for the time being.
Yeah. It's so interesting to watch. Hey, listen, if you're going to follow anybody on Instagram and you're a video marketing nerd or a marketing nerd, well, definitely make sure that you follow the Wirebuzz Instagram channel, because look, we take photos every day while we're shooting, and they get posted on the road, and it's super cool. You get to see the team at action, and what they're creating on a daily basis is really, really interesting. And then this week, I saw in Recode that Snapchat made it easier for advertisers to hand over their money. The company on Monday rolled out its new self-serve advertising option to everyone, and that means advertisers can simply go to Snapchat's website and pay for a video ad. Now, advertisers previously had to work with Snap's sales team or pay a Snap advertising partner to use the company's ads API to buy video ads. And the new buying option called Ad Manager was first tested last month, but only to a few small numbers of advertisers. The company is launching it more broadly, just in time for Cannes, the ad industry's biggest boondoggle of the year, which is set for the south of France, which is, of course, where Cannes is. I'm just reading from Recode. I'll put the story up there if you want to find out more about this. By the way, a 23-year-old Todd had a great time in Cannes and Nice. I sat on the beach. I saw a lot of Nice Cannes in Cannes. Very Nice. It's a true story. All right, let's talk about Twitter. In Twitter news, I saw a really interesting take in a Forbes article written by Joel Comm. Joel, nicely done, man. It says, it's no surprise that Twitter is looking for new ways to increase its user base and to improve its revenue. And GigaOm founder and venture capitalist Om Malik criticized Twitter's move into live video. In 2015, Twitter paid a reported $86 million to buy live streaming app Periscope. And at the end of 2016, the company finally incorporated Periscope's technology directly into Twitter. Now broadcasting live from Twitter is as easy as touching an icon, and users can see other people's live stream within the app. Now, the change came after a full-throttled move from Facebook. Everybody's reacting, right, to the other. And Facebook was experimenting with live video since August of 2015. Facebook even paid $50 million to publishers, including the New York Times and BuzzFeed, to set a standard of content that other publishers would have to meet to win audiences. Om Malik's criticism was prompted by an announcement by Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey that the company has created new partnerships with BuzzFeed, Vox Media, and others to live stream their video content. Twitter will also broadcast a number of live concerts, the MTV Awards, Moon Man. Everybody who wins goes home with a Moon Man, eventually becomes a doorstop in their home, but that's a whole other story. Fashion Week in New York and in Paris, London, Milan, that's all going to be live streamed, so you can watch 6-foot-tall models in 7-inch heels topple over live. Who wouldn't want to watch that? And 24/7 streaming news from Bloomberg, which is like watching paint dry. Despite being outbid by Amazon for Thursday night football, Twitter is still intent on offering a wide range of live video content. Now, Malik's main criticism is what's really interesting for you and I, and it's about live video, and that it doesn't match in the way in which users consume content on Twitter. First of all, really, I mean, it's such a weak criticism because everybody's pivoting, every business, including mine, in order to stay ahead of the curve. Twitter started off as text-based. They pivoted when they started to see that people aren't interested in reading, right? They evolved. Om Malik says, Twitter is short-form, real-time, text-based. It's built for instant alerts and rapid consumption. It's an ideal system for delivering snips of information from an abundant stream, but the live video effort forces you not only to leave the stream, but to set aside time to watch it. And this is an idea that may have come from a financial guy's head. And I like this part. He says, we need to boost engagement. He's talking as if he's the financial guy. We need to boost engagement and make money. So let's live stream and keep people longer and sell advertisements. The question is, does anyone on Twitter want to use it this way? And assuming that the answer to his question is no, Malik argues that instead of investing in live video, Twitter should be putting its efforts into photos, which he sees as being the biggest missed opportunity of all. Well, Instagram started off as photos, and what are they doing? Pivoting to what? Video. Why? People are 4 times more likely to watch video. They'll spend on Instagram 5 times longer if they watch video. And as we've been explaining throughout the history of this podcast, every one of these big social networks are duking it out right now for long form so they can compete with advertising dollars. Now, I'm not really criticizing Om Malik here. I you know, dude's a genius. Let him have it. But what do you think the right path for Twitter is? Is it video first or photo first? You know, clearly nobody reads anymore. So that's why this conversation isn't even about text. Speaking of Twitter and video, the San Jose Mercury News had a fascinating interview with Kumi Walker, Twitter's general manager of live content, who I exchanged texts with during Game 5 of the NBA Finals while the dude was in the stadium watching the game. He says, quote, "Live has always been in our DNA, and it's why content providers have told us they see conversations spike during live events." I mean, that's how I watch it, right? That's how I watch Twitter during live events. I'm sure you do also. And there's a really fascinating conversation with Kumi Walker that I'll make sure you can get access to on the show notes page. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he does break down and almost answer directly the criticism that I laid out from Om Malik. And you'll find it interesting. It'll be on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/96. All right, let's talk about Facebook for a moment. What percentage of U.S. marketers have spent money to promote videos on Facebook in the last year? According to a new report, Christo, what percentage? Now, you might know that in my show notes this week, which I know you have access to your computer, I didn't put it. I am remembering the number because you always cheat. You read ahead, and then when I go, Christo, what's the number? You go, oh, I just read it. So what's the number? What do you think, Christo?
What's the percentage
of U.S. marketers who've spent money on Facebook in the last year?
The percentage should be 100, but I think the real percentage is way lower. I'm going to say 40%.
All right. 68%. So really two-thirds. And those are probably the people that are just knew that they're supposed to be doing it, not really knowing how to leverage it. You know, people are going to use their ad dollars onto a static image. It's going to take them to a landing page. Then when they use a video, they forget all marketing logic. And that's why I always want to spend time reminding people, start with strategy, and it's the only way you're going to go from A all the way to ROI. Cool? All right. What percentage of marketers have spent money to promote videos on YouTube, right? So we got 67, 68% that have spent money on Facebook, but only 51% that have spent money to promote a video on YouTube. Now, if you go back to one of our last episodes, the one that we did with Mark Traphagen, the content marketing guru, my digital marketing soul brother, he dropped a really important kernel here. You know, you can amplify your video's results inside of the YouTube algorithm by applying ad spend to it. You can't do that with Google Ads, but you can do it in YouTube. There's a big difference there, but keep that in mind. I'll make sure you can get access to this Marketing Land article because it's got some really interesting insights. And it's not just desktop users who are making a shift to video. With 1.7 billion monthly mobile users just on Facebook, there's plenty of video to go around on mobile devices. The study reports that 84% of consumers watch social video content on their mobile devices, and 81% of marketers optimize social videos for mobile, which includes captioning. Now, I just want to spend a moment here. If you're creating videos at all and recognizing that a vast majority of people are going to be on their mobile device when they see it, if you're planning on sending out an email to your email database or to your customers or prospects, and you want to use that video to pull people through your buyer's journey, well, you should know that Wirebuzz from our own internal outreach is seeing that across industry, 79% of our emails are being opened right now via mobile device. So here's your big business takeaway. If you're creating a video, don't review that video on your laptop or your desktop. That's not the native environment. If you're going to be putting text in that video, make that text jumbo, less words on the screen. Make it bold so it stands out. And, you know, so not like thin letters, bolder, thicker. If you've got a button, a call to action, if you've got something, make it bold. And even on your website, think about your website text as larger. People don't read, especially on their mobile devices. We're all going friggin' blind. So whenever you've got something complex, go video first and you'll pull people through your sales funnel like they're sliding on a slip and slide. At the bottom of this article, Business Insider, I noticed this interesting stat. 88% of agency respondents say they might or definitely will invest in live stream video advertising over the next 6 months. Now, we spend a lot of time in the live stream space. I know that there's something live stream happening with one of our clients really soon because, is it this weekend? Oh, it is? Interesting. All right, so we have a client whose name I won't mention, but we did a live event for them where they had a local provider that was providing services, and that they wanted to promote local providers around the world. So what they did is they gave us a test event, and we went out to this location, happened to be on the West Coast, and for all of you that grew up on the West Coast, West Side, right? We go out to the West Side, and we go and... And really do all the nuts and bolts of the live event for them. We set it up. We do the right lighting. We also film it with the higher quality cameras and do the whole nine yards, right? 38,000 views from their audience, zip code based around the provider, a very successful live stream event. And as such, this one company that has providers all over the world is sending us to all these different locations to help jumpstart awareness in those zip codes for people within their demographics that'll go and use that service. A brilliant use of live stream. I'm excited to be a part of it. Anyway, if you want to get access to that Business Insider article, you'll find it on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/96. Okay, Wistia's in the news, and at the video tech startups Wistia Fest conference on Monday, Wistia revealed Soapbox, an easy-to-use video creation tool that lets us capture video from your webcam and desktop and then cut it all together into high-quality production right from the Google Chrome browser. Now, the company said that the free tool could be used for a variety of departments and within any company, including marketing, sales, customer support, and human resources. I'm particularly interested in this. I can't tell you why right now because I've got something, but nothing that's contagious. But I've got something, and I'm particularly keeping my eye on this. And I think that this is where the path is headed. But let's spend a few moments. You need to have a little business takeaway here. Not every video that you're going to show to a client can afford to be low quality. If you're going to film it through your webcam or through your browser, your quality is going to be low. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. But Todd, we have a 1080p or a 4K webcam. It doesn't matter if it says HD or UHD. The quality is really going to come in from the lenses. The quality is going to come in from the sensors that are involved in the higher production quality cameras. And if you're going to be using a video on your primary, most trafficked pages, those are non-perishable, meaning they're going to last for a very long time. Those are where you should be investing your high quality, your high quality resources, your dollars to making high quality videos. Now, if you're going to be doing a one-off video, by one-off, I mean perishable, like you're going to use it one time, maybe on social, or you're going to send it one-on-one to a prospect, but it's not for mass consumption, that's where you use a tool like Soapbox. Perishable versus non-perishable. Non-perishable, you're going to have 3-5 years. You're going to tell basically the same story. The perishable ones, low quality, you can get away with it each and every time. But if you flip that on its head and you put a low quality video on your most trafficked pages of your website and you're selling anything that speaks of quality, there will be a disconnect between your visual representation of your business and in the video and the quality that you sell, and it'll confuse the hell out of your buyer, and they will think low quality, and that's what you're going to be delivering them. So be very conscious of the message that you're giving people. So it turns out that Christopher Janelle happens to have used Soapbox already. Christopher, what were you using it for?
We're just playing around with it a little bit here in the office. We were kind of going around with the idea of using it to just kind of personally update clients. And I think that's a great use of a tool like this where you can make really quick, simple, low production value. But I think the personal value is really high there to make a connection with a prospect that you already have a developed relationship with. To kind of put your face on camera and say like, hey, I just was looking at this, and you can show your screen and show your face and say like, hey, you know, give me your feedback or let me know what you think. And you know, share that with your client, with your prospect. So in cases like that, I think a tool like this is super valuable. I saw this article in the newspaper and I thought you'd love it. Or
that's how I would use it.
Or when we were doing the March Madness brackets, yeah. It would have been a beautiful tool then.
Yeah, yeah,
see, you're at the bottom of our leaderboard here. What's that about? So, you know, even poking a little fun at your clients and prospects, you know, could be a good use of a tool like that.
If you want to learn more about Soapbox and what Wistia has created, we're going to put it on the show notes page. You can get access to this article. Now, keep in mind, we are big Wistia fans. The CEO of Wistia has actually been on this podcast. And whenever I'm speaking around the country, I do demos of how to use Wistia to track all of your prospects' video viewing attention span and have that automatically go into your CRM like Salesforce or HubSpot to be able to track and analyze who is really interested in buying. Super tool. Hey, Marketing Dive published an interesting article about the state of social video 2017 called Marketing in a Video-First World. And the report has some key takeaways that marketers should focus on social media channels and mobile in their video marketing strategies per a press release made available in Marketing Dive. Now, illustrating the importance of the social media and mobile combination, 84% of consumers reported watching social video content on their mobile devices. 81% of marketers reported optimizing social videos for mobile, including using tactics like planning for views with the sound off. Interesting, right? Start thinking about that if you aren't already. The report also found that social media video drives brand engagement and sales, with 83% of marketers reporting that they're confident Facebook video content will drive purchases, and 64% of consumers reporting making a purchase after watching, check this, a marketing video on Facebook in the last month. Let me do this one again. It's really startling. 64% of consumers reported making a purchase after watching a marketing video on Facebook in the last month. Really remarkable. You want to get access to that article? I'll make sure that it's on there. I don't even think I have to give you a business takeaway. That's how remarkable that stat is. But them times they are changing, you should be positioning yourself where you can get in front of your target customer and effortlessly drive them through the point of conversion. Lay those tracks out first from A all the way to ROI. Forbes published the statistics about video that tell a really powerful tale. Researchers reveals video viewers are between 64% and 85% more likely to buy a product after seeing a video for it. And 71% of marketers report higher conversion rates for video than any other form of marketing. This was in Forbes this week. Hey, if you're a listener to this podcast, this should be no aha moment for you, but if you have a employer or you have a company that you work for that's struggling to convince and convert at faster rates, send them this podcast episode. And you know what I will do? I will knock some sense into them, because when we started adding video into our sales process, we condensed an 8-week sales process by 68% and started closing our deals regularly in really rapid time, 3 weeks. Your business could be doing the same thing. And those are the big news stories that you absolutely, positively need to know in the world of video marketing this week. Now, in our office right now, we've got a diamond client. I mean, not like a diamond, like a platinum client. I mean, literally a client that sells the world's greatest diamonds. And we'll be filming with them next week. But they're here in our office in Scottsdale right now in the conference room, probably where I should be. And they're laying out and finalizing all the plans for their shoot next week when we all meet up again in San Francisco. Now, I've got a couple of promises that I've made for you already. I mentioned that we're filming right now at a grow facility, a marijuana, medicinal marijuana grow facility in Arizona. If I can, I'll make sure on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/96, that those images from the grow facility up there, I think you'll find them very interesting. I will also make sure that you get access to these reports and studies that I referenced inside of this episode, including all of the news stories that you heard me tee off on. Hey, if you've got video marketing news that you want others to hear about, go to wirebuzz.com/pitch and make sure you pitch it my way, all right? Just put it in there. I will talk about it in the podcast. If you got a question, wirebuzz.com/pitch. And if you want to learn how to prove ROI or to guarantee that your video production projects generate a return on investment consistently, well, we created a free 5-part video mini course that you can have access to, and you can get it at wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. All right. So that's the big information that you need to know. If the podcast has become a valuable part of your learning process, if I'm keeping you up to speed on where the road is headed so you can properly pivot and position your business, then make sure you go to Google, iTunes, or Stitcher and hit the subscribe button. And in doing so, we'll make sure that each and every new episode gets sent directly to you. And look, I really like honest ratings and reviews. I read every one. I saw the most recent one that was posted. I'm not going to read it on this podcast right now because it was very kind and very thoughtful. But if you've got something you'd like to share with others about the podcast, or if the podcast has helped you make more money, or you've shared it with a colleague and helped them be more efficient or successful, then please leave a really honest rating and review. iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play is where you can find it. And each and every week on this podcast, we will bring you the latest news and information of where the world of video marketing is headed so you can be making a boatload more money, grow your business, and put your ass on the beach, right? I mean, isn't that what people are trying to do? Trying to make more money, sell a better product, do it faster so they can retire or go on vacation. Wirebuzz.com/ROI is where you're going to learn how to get that return on investment. And I will continue to make sure that you get the latest information so you could be a video marketing master.